All right, story of God Pod, God's Pod section is where we're at. Hey, the reason we're doing this podcast is we just want to, as friend Mike says, have kind of snackable formation for the church. As we're having these conversations on Sunday morning, we just kind of in the middle of the week want to come along and kind of just keep this in front of us as a church to kind of keep processing through it, thinking through it, that we might be, let the story of God continue to shape us and form us.
Yeah.
This isn't Dan. He may sound like him, but it is not.
Just sometimes. Just sometimes. It's amazing how some of our staff will even get it. And like, I walk through the halls and everybody gets nervous.
Everybody's like, act like you're working, act like you're working, Dan's here.
But no, I'm excited for the conversation. We have been going through Story of God throughout the last year.
I don't know what to say when the series is over.
I know.
You know what I mean? I'm probably just going to say that stuff.
It's like we're still going through the Bible, I guess. As we've been moving through it, we hit Mark, kind of slowed down a little bit, focused there. Then we got through just these last couple of weeks in Acts, which you did awesome this past Sunday, covering the entire book of Acts, which
we left out a lot.
Well, but there was a lot in there. And as you've been kind of in studying Acts, looking at it, what were some thoughts that you had, some things you wish we would have gotten more into or didn't have time to maybe do in the 35 minutes?
My clock is set services. To 35.
Yeah. You're right on time, man.
If you go over, nothing happens. That's what I've heard. You know, I think that the book is, it's just cool. So I like history. And not even just like, you know, this place in the city, but the story of Acts, like how things got started. It's just fun to hear how things got started. And I think there's a lot of power in that, of just how things got started. And then that even, you know, the book ends and you see the New Testament, but eventually you start, just look at church history. You know what I mean? That the disciples in Acts made disciples and the church continued to spread out. You never really hear about, I mean, it's not in the book of Acts. You kind of follow Paul's journey, but the gospel going to India, North Africa, Spain. It's, you hear about stuff like that. You kind of read throughout history and church tradition. That's just cool. But stuff that I thought about Sunday, you didn't really get to get into too much, that I've just been thinking about over the course of the past week, is thinking about the church and the early church. And we're still going to be talking about the church, but is just the idea of, I think, how much we can kind of have our ideas of what the church is, or what like the Sunday gathering or small group gathering, like what they should be, and how easy it can be to get it confused with content. We're just in a content culture.
Yeah.
TV, podcasts, sermons, worship music. Like it's very like content driven. It's very market driven, like consumer driven, you know, and that's not like a church thing. That's like just our entire society. You know what I mean? Like something breaks, got to buy a new one. We're always thinking like, I want to spend my money wisely. Like we just think very intake. And so I think the church, we can slip into that. I can slip into that, you know, obviously of just the, like, was the sermon good? Did they play the songs I like?
Entertainment, information. Like,
yeah. Do
one
we have
of those things I need?
Yeah. You know how this is, even in your small group gatherings, you can gather and you'd be like, are you happy with the thing? Can be like, just, am I happy with the thing? Like all of that. Yeah. It's easy for our brains. We think about that when we go to a restaurant. We think about that when we're putting our kids in school. We think about that for, it's just kind of the way we think. It's like, how was the thing? Mm. Was it worth my time? You know, and that's that kind of curse that we have. And so I think about that with church, about how we can get it confused with content. And maybe that's like a curse we kind of have to fight versus the formative impact of church.
Yeah.
The not like, when I came to the church gathering this week, did I get something out of it? I hope we do. It's, you know, my desire is that Spirit would use what happens to encourage the church and the folks as we leave. But I think the formative impact over years, you know, the early church, like I like to think of just some lady who was hanging out in that first church gathering, the Acts 2:42, like,
yeah,
breaking bread and praying. It's like, I love to think about her like 30 years later, you know what I mean? And just like, oh, yeah, old Beatrice has been here the whole time, man. She's been part of this. And I just think about that, you know what I mean? Yeah. And how often that lady may have thought, I didn't get anything out of this today, you know? And how easy that can be my posture, just the formative impact of church. I just think about that, looking at the early church, thinking about church history, thinking about just the way the church has gathered over the last 2,000 years and stuff.
What do you think, and we might even get into some of this and maybe some of the next series, I think, where we're going, but how's that formative impact happen? Like when, because it's not just, I mean, they gather for sure, but those were intentional times, intentional spaces, and some maybe less intentional, just being together, like breaking bread in homes and stuff like that. But like, how does that formative, because I think that's where the up and to the right mindset can get very frustrating, like of me, where I'm like, it didn't feel like we did anything. Like,
because nobody wants to waste time. None of us are like, didn't get anything, feel anything. I don't want that.
Yeah.
You know, none of us do. I think that Acts 2, where you see that's like the early church picture that everyone's trying to get back to, the like, they broke bread together.
Yeah.
But it says they dedicated themselves to the apostles' teachings and to the breaking of bread, into prayer.
Yeah.
And then it talks about what they saw and what they did. And I think that piece, they were dedicated, committed to the thing. You know what I mean? Like, there's this, there was this bond, this commitment, there's a word that'll come to me later probably, but yeah, so we're like, we're doing this thing together. And I think about that over the long haul, you know, just like the journey together. I think that is part of the formative element. You know, that's how it is with best friends. Obviously how it is with marriage is, you know, with any relationship that matters, I want to have a good relationship with my friends, but part of it is the, like my friend Mike, who I work with, like, we've been friends for the better part of the last 20 years, and there's part of just, we are friends, we'll be friends, our friends. You know what I mean? I'm not like, let's see how funny Mike's been recently. Like, it's just like, there's this...
Has he given me any good information?
Yeah,
tips,
which
or
he usually
is. Yeah, yeah.
But there's just this fidelity. That's the word I was trying to think. Fidelity, maybe... It sounded good. How'd you feel about me using that word?
I was thinking unity, but fidelity's
unity,
good.
Fidelity.
Yeah. Loyalty.
Fidelity sounds better, but I know a little bit less of what it means. So I could say unity, but I'm going to say fidelity and hope it works.
Yeah.
I think that, like, that unity together, that we're committed, that we're doing this thing. I think that is part of what's formative. You know, because everything, how helpful, how practical, how those things change and come and go. We know that to be true. You know, sometimes you continue on because you committed to it. And I think that is formative over, I think about folks that have been here for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be 5 years, 10 years, 40 years. But the fidelity to be like, I'm here. These are my people. You know, eventually Christmas isn't about you. It's about your kids. You know what I mean? And there's something to that that I think is ongoingly formative for the person, but formative for the next generation. You know what I mean? That, like, my kids eventually are like, yeah, Christmas is for my kids, not for me. You know, I think that as well.
And it's amazing how then Christmas, to use that illustration, becomes formative for you while you're watching your kids.
Exactly.
You're like,
exactly.
Oh, wow, the joy that it brings me, and the, I don't know, the first year I'm seeing all my kids open stuff. Yeah. I'm like, I remember this. Why don't I have the joy of all?
Yes.
And you're like,
my expectation
oh, this is really
of
good.
It, my
yeah.
perspective of it is all different. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think of that when you asked, what is formative about it? I think it's that. I think it's the commitment to what we see in Acts 2. Commitment to one another, commitment to the word, committed to seeing the Lord work, committed to prayer, all those things.
Feels like our, like I work young adults all the time, and commitment's like the scariest word you can say to them.
Oh, for any of us,
Where for all of us, it feels like we are
I think there's a
world.
Joke for millennials that you're like, man, there's nothing better than canceled plans. You know what I mean? Like, we have tonight open. Yes.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure. I have another one for you, but pocket it
well,
for a
minute. I'll steer the ship at this point first. That's what Dan always said.
Yeah.
You lead young adult ministry,
okay,
as you said, and what is, how do you see the church, the institution, you know, how do you see that being something that young adults are hungry for, looking for?
Mm-hmm.
Or is maybe when you talk to young adults who aren't sure about it, how are you like, this is what you're looking for? How do you see that showing up in our culture? We all kind of hear the stats going down, but then maybe starting to go back up. And we read our headlines of, I think young people are coming back to the church. You're in the front line of some of that.
Yeah.
What's the kind of some of the postures, attitudes towards church?
Yeah.
There's four questions in there. Pick one and go with it. That's how we do questions.
I'll just speak to something.
Talk about young adults in church.
Yeah. So it's fascinating to me. Like, I think some of the stats and stuff, like, we can get overexcited about, which I think some of them are very true and very neat what's happening, like, very encouraging. But to be honest with you, I was hearing those stats, I'm like, why isn't that happening as much here? Like, I'd love to see more of that here. And I feel like over the last 6 months or so, we started seeing pockets of it that have been shocking of young adults, young people just kind of coming in, especially young guys,
hunger
that are hungry, that are searching, that are asking questions, that have seen kind of what the world has to offer, have accumulated regret and shame at such a young age. Like, it's amazing to me the some conversations I've had to whenever we talk about that and that environment, it seems to resonate deeply that we just kind of acquired shame that we have no idea where to go with it. Mm. And you're like, well, Jesus has quite a bit to say about that. Like, he can take that from us. And and so I think there's I think there's deep hunger for the person of Jesus. I do worry some that the church needs to be entertaining, inspiring, make me feel good as young people. And so I'll go to whatever one I want at the time. And so some of that, the fidelity that you talk about, that I'm like, oh man, it's so important. I do worry about that some with young adults, because you tend to just gravitate towards whatever, wherever your friends are at, like, let's just go there. And so I think some of that, I think there's so much curiosity to spiritual things right now for a lot of them. And it's just trying to help direct that, influence it, and give them paint a different vision for what the church is supposed to be and what it can be and what it's supposed to offer. Does that answer your question?
Listen, man, we're just hanging out here on the God Pod.
That's, I don't know.
I think that's hanging out. We all fall into that. You know what I mean? The, like, it's interesting how you said, like, the young adult, but that's probably downstream from older generations. I'm a millennial, folks. So Gen Z, Gen Alpha are behind me. We're getting up there. Of just, you know, we're like in that kind of market culture. I think we all can be looking for that. And there's something to the fidelity. It's almost like there was neighborhood churches and then it grew. And now there's almost this desire to go back to, like, your local.
I think there's something to, like, the local, you're allowed to be known.
Yeah.
And that's horrifying. And yet that's beautiful when it's in the right Jesus community. And you're like, they know me, I know them, and warts and all. And so over time, if that's in a healthy, we're committed to the scriptures, we're committed to prayer, all those warts start to be turned into things of beauty. I don't know where we're going with this, but
you know what? I think of, you and I have podcasts and leaders that we like to listen to and learn from and all those things, like anybody else does. But when someone in my family dies, they're not coming to their funeral.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I think of that, like, with the local church, like, the generations and the people, like, they're part of our actual lives. I love seeing some of those young adults serving Empower Kids, like, helping, like, my kids are Empower Kids, and some of the young adults that you're helping lead are the ones teaching them. And I'm like,
it's really cool.
I love that. You know what I mean? And what's cool is that some of my family is working in Power Kids and helped raise those leaders who are raising my, like, there's something about that.
Yeah.
That's not on a podcast. You know, what Trinity Broadcasting Network show has that happening? Because that only happens in the local church, of those intermixed relationships, those that fidelity together in a local place, that there's just power in that.
I wonder this. We were talking about it some, it might've been yesterday or the day before. You're closing on Acts 29, that idea of, like, Acts just kind of has this cliffhanger ending. You're kind of like, okay, what's next? And then you get to Romans, 1 Corinthians. You're like, well, these are letters to churches. This isn't even.
Yeah.
What's been brewing in your brain since then? And, like.
Yeah, you always full transparency, you finish the sermon, you're like, man, I wish I could have landed that. I was talking about, we were talking with Jonathan yesterday.
Yeah.
He was talking with somebody and they were talking about their, just the way of them caring for their grandkids and, kind of their relationship and kind of this opportunity they get with them weekly. And Jonathan said to them, that's your Acts 29 opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, to be the church continuing in this moment. And the person was like, okay, yeah. And I said, man, Jonathan, that's my ending, man. If we go back, like, what is your Acts 29 opportunity? So, you know, Acts just ends in Acts 28 and we're all part of the church. The same Spirit of God is at work. And he has sent us. So what is your Acts 29 opportunity? You know, in my job as a young adult, with my grandkids, as a retired person, as a grandparent, in my home, as a parent, with the people I teach with as a teacher, my kind of teaching compact, gaggle, whatever you call your group.
Gaggle?
That's a goose thing. Yeah, you know, your group. But whoever you're with, so who's your Acts? Who's my Acts 29 opportunity? Because we're continuing what happened in the book of Acts.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's huge.
What do you think in terms of, there's a lot of We did not tell each other who was asking what questions. There's a lot of hurt that comes along with the church, right? Mm. And some of that is major stuff. You know, some of that, like, you talk to people like, man, that is a rough, I'm sorry, walk through that, right? People are involved. That's not a throwaway line. That's just the reality. You know, like, you start to get, I think there's hurt because it's the family of God. Mm-hmm. And you come together and you're like, maybe this family will be better than mine. And you're mm-hmm. like, oh, matter of fact, they're short-sighted and say harmful things and didn't show up how I expected as well. Mm-hmm. What would you say to somebody, maybe a young adult, who's like, I'm not sure about the church stuff because, you know, at this age, this is what they said to my parents, or this is what these people's attitude was towards me. I remember talking to a person who had a real, just kind of cold, they were checking out church at a young age, kind of got a cold experience as a young adult, and we're like, never mind. Hmm. What would you encourage them with when there's the reality of those church hurts?
It's fascinating. I can think of two conversations I've had recently, one with a young adult and one with somebody a little bit older than that.
An older adult.
Yeah, there we go. Seasoned wisdom adult. And, you know, the biggest thing I think sometimes, I never want to dismiss it. Like, you never want to just, oh, it's no big deal, or you probably, whatever, like, you caused some of that or whatever. You're like, no, like, I just want to listen. And I also, I don't know. I never want them to give up on it. Like, like, the church has so much wrong in it, and there's people in it, and they keep messing it up, and I'm one of them. And until I realize...
You are.
I know. Until you realize that, and have the humility to look inward, I think of that line in Romans where he's like, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought. And sometimes my fear is when we get hurt, we can elevate ourselves to a point of judgment on everything. Hmm. And you're like, well, I'm hurt, and so I know how to get well. And Jesus would say, the sick need a doctor. Like, and so I want to be as tender as I can, but I'm like, don't let your hurt define all of it and become the, I know exactly what I need, and it's not church, and what I need is church on my back deck, walking laps around the woods or whatever. And you're like, yeah, there's probably really great things with that, right? Yeah. Like, but that's not church, and that's never what Jesus intended us. And if we're following Jesus, he's the one who set this thing up. It wasn't, Lord knows, it wasn't your idea. You know, like, we just, it was his idea.
Yeah.
And Jesus, like, faced pretty serious disappointment and pretty serious hurt in the church. Like,
yeah.
I mean, you think about the guys he started this whole thing with, they all left him.
Jesus has a major amount of church hurt.
So much.
Even think about it.
So much.
Yeah.
And if he's not giving up on it, then why would I ever want to be the one to give up on it?
Yeah.
And I want to quote that as in as much empathy as possible.
Totally. Because everybody's situation is totally different. But what I hear you saying, and I agree with you, is that there is this call to endure, to bear one another's burdens, that it doesn't mean you ignore those things. Or I think sometimes certain things, like language, like church hurt, can be dismissed. And it's like, man, that's like real stuff.
Yeah.
But exactly to your point, there is, like with your family, you know what I mean? There's when you're hurting your family, it doesn't mean you ignore things. You got to figure it out. But you figure out how we keep moving forward in the midst of those things, because not just my family provides something for me, but there's something for me, like that person who's experienced, that's you have something to offer this group of people still. Hmm. You know what I mean? There's the way we say it around here is there's no spare parts. And so there's like a necessity in there. And it's just, I think sometimes it's just acknowledging the reality of it, you know, acknowledging the reality that hurts. And you read the New Testament, and Paul's call to forgive one another, to bear one another's burden, like all those things, almost like he's anticipating happening. You know what I mean? Like, wait, what happened? Yeah. Like, he's like, this is probably going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, and there's obviously, if we were sitting with somebody, each conversation is unique to who you're talking to. But I love that not giving up on the thing that Jesus died for.
Yeah.
In the midst of that. Yeah. That's hard. There's everything from church hurt, from like, man, major hard things to like, oh, I thought this would be almost like church disappointment. You know what I mean? And that doesn't mean that every church is for everybody. You know what I mean? We have good friends that lead other churches that beautiful, fantastic places, and there's all that. But man, there's just something to when you look at the book of Acts, you look at church history, that we're just not on our own. You know, we're not
concocting. We're going to spend eternity with these people.
That's
you know, like, might as well learn how to get along down here.
Ethan, it's me. Here, you know, like, oh gosh, yeah. Ethan's at my castle again.
Am I?
Wherever we're going to be.
There you go. Could we do this? I just wonder. Uh-oh. I don't know if we're allowed to do this. I'm just going to ask it. Could you give a little painting of what's coming this next week into weeks to come of, like, the church and...
Yeah, somewhere to be.
Well, that was an alarm.
You know, Aiden, if you could just wrap this thing up, I got to get out of here.
I didn't want to go it off in front of the... But...
Last week, Dan had the questions on his phone, and I looked up, and he was like, I'm like, all right, man, I'm a buggy here on our podcast. He was looking at the questions. Yeah, this as we kind of enter this next chapter, yeah. Jesus doesn't say, like, so figure it out, guys. You know, we get distracted. We get preoccupied. So he gives us these pictures of what the church is, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, the family of God. This building that he's building together with these stones, this holy nation in 2 Peter he talks about. And so there's all these pictures of who we are, and it's all these things that are together, you know what I mean? That it requires us to do this together. But then also these practices he calls us to kind of continue of communion and baptism and of these different practices that we kind of continue to live out. And so we're gonna look at some of those things. Like, what does it look like for us to continue in these things? Both identity of who we are and what do we collectively do to remind ourselves and live into who he has made us to be.
Yeah,
so walking through those things. But if someone listens to this after the fact, we already talked about it. So
it's true.
That's kind of fun.
Well, sorry about that.
Wherever you are and whenever you are, we're glad you're listening to the Story of God Pod, which will soon be renamed something else.
Yeah,
we're going to be in the book of Revelation soon.
There we go.
All right.
Closing out.
Thanks for being with us. Dan will be back next week.
Sounds good.